Check. How's it going out there? Welcome back. It is back. We are back. It is a new day. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Welcome back to the Carolyn and Joe Show, guys. How y'all doing out there?
We're doing great.
Yay! It's a whole new world. It's a whole new time.
A whole new land.
A whole new, in fact,
a new
land.
Frontier. That's, the wild, wild west.
That's in fact true.
The
yes.
World Wide Web.
Yes. Again, this show is in fact sponsored by
the internet.
The internet, curls-studio.com, and brought to you by astrayproductions.com. Curls Astray. That's who makes this show today. Take it away, Carolyn.
Hey, you know we have some upcoming tour dates?
Do we do?
Yeah. May 22nd, we're going to be at Handmade Mart.
So what exactly is a Handmade Mart? We've been there before, right? We were there last year,
and basically, it's a whole bunch of tents set up all along downtown Silver Spring, Maryland, and it's a fun day where you can see what people made. Most of it is handmade stuff, and they have great stuff for finding anything that you want for a gift, for a birthday, for your mom, for your dad. Father's Day is coming up. So, you know, there's a lot of nice stuff there. Some stuffed animals people might like. So, I know that this one lady makes like these stuffed owls. You know, she's always at that event, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, like in Silver Spring is a pretty nice area. They got like a nice movie theater. It's pretty upscale. I don't know.
They have the AMC theater.
They got a lot of stuff happening. So you can come by and catch both of us. We're not going to be doing a show like a Carolyn and Joe show, but we'll be in our other persona, in our other professions, as in making stories and making comics and showing them for the whole entire world to see. Yes,
yeah,
we in fact do that.
You can meet us and buy comics from us.
Yes. And then we'll have a conversation with you afterwards. It goes in that order, ladies and gentlemen.
It can totally be great.
It goes in that order. You spend money, we'll talk to you.
Well, you know what, though? We should... Let me move on to a couple other tour dates, and then we can talk about it. Okay, so May 22nd is Handmade Mart, and then on July 30th is DC's Zine Fest.
Cool.
And this is the first Zine Fest that I know of that's in Washington, D.C., so that's going to be pretty rad. So they're starting that up. And then August 20th and 21st, we are going to be at Baltimore Comic Con. And then September 10th and 11th, we are going to be at Small Press Expo. And then September 16th through 18th, we're going to be at Intervention.
So real quick, run through those dates real fast, if you could.
I just did.
All right. One more time for me. For me, at least do it for me.
For you?
For me. Do it
okay.
for me.
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Handmade Mart.
Handmade Mart.
July 30th.
July 30th.
DC Zine Fest.
DC Zine Fest.
August 20th through 21st. Yeah. Baltimore Comic Con.
All right. That's our big one, too. That's our like homecoming, basically.
September 10th and 11th, Small Press Expo. And then September 16th through 18th, Intervention.
Fabulous.
And we might be having some more tour dates coming up, but those are the 100% confirmed tour dates that we are definitely going
to
be at.
And we try to do as many dates as we can coming up in the fall a little bit and have some time to work on the stuff we're going to debut in the fall, in the summer.
So, back to what Joe was saying earlier.
What was I saying?
If you buy something from us, then we'll talk to you.
We'll just sit there in silence.
I do want to tell a story, though, now that you brought up Handmade Mart last year. I believe this was last year.
All right, go ahead.
There was this girl that was hanging out in the tent with us. Okay, so we have like a 10-foot by 10-foot tent. And, you know, it's pretty cool in there. We hang out. We talk. We talk to everybody that comes by. And we always want to meet new people.
Yeah.
But this one girl in particular, and there's nothing wrong with her at all, but she talked to us for practically over an hour.
I want to know about this, because usually...
Actually, it could have been 2 hours.
Like, you know, we do a bunch of shows, and, you know, in both of our professions, yeah, there's networking and there's lots of talking that does sort of happen between all of that, you know, with you being an illustrator and then also working working as a designer and you have events. You know, you work with AIGA, in which you have a lot of networking stuff. And also me, with the being a filmmaker and working in film production, we have our little get-togethers and all that stuff where you network and do things like that. And there's always comes a time where you must end the conversation. You know, I feel that throughout like my 7 or 5 year career so far in working in my business, that I think I've gotten pretty well at knowing how to end a conversation. Like I want to just put it, you know, when just to put it, put the boots to it, but put it at the end. But sometimes,
but do you remember the, do you remember this girl that I speak of?
But see, sometimes there's that show is like the girl that you speak of that like, you're just like, you know, you've ended the conversation, right? And then you sit down and then you realize she's like, that person's still there. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, she was probably, she was very harmless. She's a few years younger than us. I think she was college age.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was talking about how she loves doing art, but then she wasn't like full on hardcore with it type deal. And I guess she was trying to find some motivation.
And this wasn't the show when it was snowing either, right? This is not that.
No, this was, I think we had good weather and it was like a nice spring day from what I believe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like she was trying to be under our tent, like, you know, if it was raining out or something, or there was no harsh conditions. You know, it's like she basically chose to spend half of her day with us. And, you know, at first I thought, you know, I was like, this is cool. This girl's into art and we're talking, you know. But then it comes to a time where it's like, all right, this conversation feels like we are talking for an hour.
Now, what in the world could you guys be talking about, really, for that long of time?
I honestly don't know the full-on details, but I remember talking to her about art and then random stuff that she liked. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it was. But, you know, it was getting to the point where it was a while. So, and I think I might have sat down, and then I looked up and she was still hanging out and looking at her stuff and just kind of hanging out there. And it almost felt like after a while that I was like a babysitter.
See, this is what I start to think, though. Half of me feels like, oh, we're like the cool, like we're so cool, like in the whole entire like lineup
so
that they
cool.
have, that like, you know, like we appeal to that, you know, that age group that like, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of adults, not adult stuff, but like more like, I guess, you know, I don't know how to best describe it without saying adult, but adult things of more like taboo or like the adult stuff. But like, you know, like our stuff is more fun. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I guess maybe that's why she felt like, oh, like, I should hang out here. It's like a fun area, as opposed to everyone has like sterling silver and has like woodworking
like,
and stuff.
All of our fine jewelry is made out of sterling silver.
You know,
would you like to try it on?
That'd be the one main reason why I feel like they would want to hang out, because they're like, oh, cool, look, comics. You know, I feel like we're the
Actually,
only comics.
Actually, you know what? I don't mean to down it. It was just that it was a little long. You know, it's kind of like you need to know when to make your exit.
Exactly. You need to know how to make an entrance
and
know how to make an exit.
So what, like, I mean, I don't know. It depends how the conversation's going. But normally when I meet people, you know, you can get a good conversation in 5 minutes. And, you know, you can even get a good, like, meaty conversation in 20 minutes. But I think sometimes when you're first meeting somebody, anything over 20 minutes is a little, you know, you kind of just want to give your exit to be like, all right, I'll see you later. And then maybe exchange business cards or phone numbers or something. You know, like that's a good time to pull it off. Even if you're having a great time, it's still like you can't really be a barnacle.
What is a barnacle?
A barnacle on somebody's boat. You know, like,
I have
no
clue what that means.
You don't know what a barnacle is?
I'm sorry.
I think
that's
like
not
a,
part of my vocab.
It's a sailing term, but you know, like those little shells.
Because I've been on so many boats.
But you know those? I'm describing it to you. You know, like the shells that go on the boat, like they latch on to the boat, and they're like, "I'm gonna go on the trip with you."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like how it felt. And I mean, and I actually have a positive opinion of this girl. I don't remember her name or anything, but like, you know, I don't even think she even introduced herself, to be honest with you.
So I feel that that type of situation happens to you. I mean, where people want to come up to you and talk to you happens to you a lot more than me. Because, you know, with our books, I'm the writer, but there's nothing people can visually see. So when they say like, oh, I'm trying to be an artist, or I do drawing and stuff like that too, they don't know about my film career or my award-winning background as an
Maybe
artist
you
or photographer
tell them.
Or something like that. So they go directly to you and they're like, so how do you do this? What does that mean?
I like answering the questions, but also like I feel like when you meet somebody you admire, make sure, you know, first of all, you should never go up to somebody when they're eating. I feel like that's come back another time, you know? And, but another thing is like, I just feel like you need to, come up to them and say who you are, first of all. Because, like, sometimes I'm like, well, who are you? Just, I mean, even if you're some 20-year-old kid, I want to know who you are. Don't just come up to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come up to me and introduce yourself first, and then we'll talk.
See, I totally understand that situation, and I always have that type of business in mind. Like, in my head, whenever I have an opportunity to meet someone I really admire, like a hero, or like, you know, like recently met like the Kills, or every single time we've met like famous people, I feel that I have always, in every single moment, even when we met like Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, or any one of those, I have felt like that every single time I've always felt like I was a failure towards what I meant to say, and I always just rushed. Like, oh, wow, you're so great, blah, 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 blah. And I feel like I just mumbled my way through
it.
Also,
those scenarios that you just mentioned were more like line scenarios.
But still, like, that you have your moment. Like, even, like, you know, when I'm at a comic book convention, I want to go and I'm, you know, even though we have a table, I still like to, you know, be a fanboy a little bit and mm-hmm. meet a couple of my heroes. Like, you and Darwin Cook, I always tried to meet him, and even, like, Tim Sale and all those awesome guys. And every single time that I feel like that I've like had an opportunity to talk to them, I haven't been successful once.
Why? What happens?
I just feel like in that line.
Do you get like feel a rush that because there's like 10 people behind you or something?
Well, there's part of me in my head where that feels like I shouldn't be in this situation because I always want to be equals. You know, I don't want to be like a fanboy. Like, in my heart, I've always felt like I want to work with this person. That's how great I want to be. I don't want to be just like another, you know, another face in the crowd. I want to mm-hmm. be substantial. And so when I'm in line, I'm thinking about what this cool stuff to say, and it just never comes out right. Because I remember I met Darwin Cook like the first time, you know, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm a really great, you know, I'm a big fan. I love all your work. I'm going to buy everything that you do. And I'm like, 10 minutes later, I'm like, God, what a stupid ass thing I just said, man. I'm just like a big fan. I could like.
Well, like at the same time, though, it's kind of like, what else
but it's
can
so
you say?
But it's so
you
know, generic. But
it is generic, but that's it's like, I, but you don't know him besides that.
But
you
also,
know?
You know, it's part of me is like when I met J. Scott Campbell, you know, I'm a big fan of his work, Gen 13 and stuff like that. I grew up on it. And, you know, when I met him like the first time, I was so inspired by your work, blah, blah, blah. I just, what else can I do? I don't know. What do you think is the best situation in the best thing that you can come about saying like to one of those heroes? Because I always fumble. Like when I met Tom Morello, I was like, thank you for bringing real music back. And then I felt like I mumbled it. I felt like it sounded like, and he's like, what? You know, anytime we hear it says what, and you're just like, oh, thanks. And he just walked away.
Oh, that instance, I think you probably got scared in that instance.
I think the only person I've ever felt like I've said the things I've meant to say has been Kevin Smith. Because, mm-hmm. like, it's like, I think every single time I've talked to him, one, it was, like, on the street, but then the other times was, like, I've fallen in line and there's a mic. So I felt, like, this pressure to also perform as opposed to being a personal situation.
Also, you were given, like, your time. I feel like that's part of it, at least with you. It's like you're given your time to have your say. And you said it. Well, I felt maybe you felt rushed in these other scenarios.
Well, I felt like I think because it's me rushing it too. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, when I get there, you have that notion of like, oh man, oh shit, what do I do now? You know, like when we met the Kills like a couple of weeks ago, like there was that, because I remember when we met the Kills, they made it so it was a line and we can meet them and stuff like that. And then a weird thing happened beforehand where all of a sudden everyone before us was like hugging the Kills. You know what
you're
I mean?
Like, need to hug you. Yeah. I love your music. You're so awesome.
I love your band so much. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that.
And they talk just like that too.
And like, you know, to me, when I saw the first hug, I was like, okay, that's cool. You know,
then
someone else wanted a hug. And then when the next person gave a hug, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, hugs going around everywhere.
It was like Care Bears.
Yeah. But see, the problem with that scenario with me was for people who don't know me, or for people who do know me, know how much I do not give hugs. That I'm not like a, yo, bro, let's hug it out. You know, I'm not that type. I try not to touch you at all. it's sort of my situation, if you're a hero or not. So when I saw that, I was like, crap. You know what I mean? I was like, not that it's bad to like hug people. It's just not in my not my well-being to give someone a hug. I'll give someone a high five, you know, or something like that. I was like, oh, that's more acceptable. But when it came down to it, I was like, Oh man, I guess we're gonna have to go for the hug now, do we?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually asked for a hug from anybody.
And that,
like, I would never be like, "Can I have a hug?" Like, I just, I'm not a, I don't mind hugging, but I would never like ask for a hug.
And you know that, I mean, it was cool and all. That like the kills were like absolutely amazing, like really nice people and all. And like the one true factor was, I felt like I gave a crappy ass hug because I hesitated.
You gave them a hug?
I gave them.
I didn't even know that you. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was sort of like a
like a what's half a, hug.
Yeah, it was like a I don't know how to best describe it, but a
pat on the back.
It was like a the slap hands, and then go for like the embrace type deal.
Uh-huh.
Like at first, this is what happened. So the people in front of us when we were meeting the kills, remember they're all, it was like a black dude and some girl, and the black dude was all like, "Oh my God, I brought you," you know, he was very flamboyant into it. Yeah, he was really, I was like, "Oh man, there's no way I'm not like that." I mean, I bet it's awesome to do that, but like, I can't be like that. You know what I mean?
A flamboyant black dude.
And, you know, and we're
that's just not who you are.
Yeah, it's just not my genetics. You know what I'm saying? But when we go, so, and we can hear them talk. You know what I mean? We can hear every word that they're saying. They're like, "Oh, I drove all the way down from New York to see you guys. I didn't even know what's going to happen. I knew when we said we shouldn't stay, blah, blah, blah." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, hey, oh, shit." So it's like this big, it's this big ass happy moment, man. So it's like, I can't, like, for me, it's like, you know, when you're driving into someone else's happy moment, now you're like trying to be competitive and stuff like that. But one moment I do remember when meeting the kills is once that group parted, like the kills were looking at them and then looked towards us. And then I felt like there was a moment of like, you know, that sort of like awkward, like, or at least for me, awkward, like, "Hey, hey," you know what I mean? You know, especially me and you were in full force deco shirts too. So it almost looked like a band meeting another band. It's like deco band meeting the kills.
I wish I saw your hug because I was talking to Allison. And I didn't even see your hug.
It was like a...
I've never seen you go up to a guy and hug him.
No, see, it wasn't like that. See, what happened was like, you know, I went for... I wasn't like...
Was he going for the hug?
See, in my head, like...
Maybe he has the European sensibility.
This is the way I went at the plan of action. I went for the, yo, man, it's great to meet you. How, like, the shake, and yeah, then the double, like, the, you know, where you do, like, a closer, like, grip.
Yeah.
And then he, like, pulled me in for a hug, and I was like, oh, I guess
he's European, so maybe that's what he was going for the hug.
And engaged to Kate Moss, so I got Kate Moss points two in there.
I don't know, man. Is she touching him? I only give you a little bit of Kate Moss touch points, but not full on.
That's, I mean,
because you didn't actually touch her.
Yeah, but if there's connection,
you
Kate
have
Moss connection.
You have
the Jamie Hentz from the kills.
I will not say that you get official Kate Moss touch points.
That's true,
but you get like association touch points.
Yeah, I'm in this. That's touch points in the circle.
Yeah,
but see, like when I. But see, like, I felt like
those are only worth 20% credit.
See, I even remember doing this, like, sort of like you go for the handshake and you're like, "Oh, that's it," and then he pulls you in. I'm like, "Oh, okay," you know what I mean? You're like, "All right, here we are."
I think that's probably just a European thing.
But see, like, after that, see what happened? That threw me off guard. So after that, I completely forgot everything I was gonna say. So then I just talked about like, "Oh man," like
you talk about Joe Strummer.
Yeah, but like, to me, I don't even
like,
think
like, where
that
did
was...
you pull that out from?
Well, because he's from the UK. Like, Joe Strummer's from the UK. That's the only thing I can say, man. I completely did a blank. But then, like, later on, I even, like, had a nightmare about it. I was like, great. So the first thing I talked to them about is a dead person. It's like, great.
You
so,
had a nightmare about
it? I was like, really? Mean, does this everyone know. Want to reminisce about someone dying? It's like if someone goes like, "Oh, you know, what happened to Eddie? Eddie's dead." It's like, you don't want to really just talk about... to one of your favorite heroes, and like, "Oh man, this guy's dead, dude." You know what I mean? So what the fuck is that?
Now that I think about it, that is kind of funny, Joe.
I feel like, I feel like my.
That's like somebody coming up to us and like being like, "Oh man, I love comics, man. Man, Will Eisner died."
I know. That's what I feel
it's like just
dude.
Some random thing.
But see, like, the I still put on a smile, but at least they were all like, "Yeah, I miss Joe Strummer too, man." They're like, "Oh, Joe, what happened to Joe? He's like everywhere." And I was like, I'm here, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Like at that,
that is pretty lame. The one thing that you bring up is some guy that died.
What else was I supposed to talk about? I blanked out.
At least they're not related to him.
Yeah, but Joe Strummer was one of my heroes.
I guess the way it was done was in a fun way. It wasn't fun at all.
It was just the only thing I could think of at the last second.
I mean, but it was handled in a, you know, it was like, oh yeah, but you know,
was it
like,
really handled? I felt like I blew it.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. But now that you mention
everyone
it,
everyone of my heroes, I have every one of the heroes I've met in that type of setting or hasn't been.
You should go up to like Jericho and be like, man, I'm so upset about Chris Benoit.
But see, yeah, that's exactly what it is, dude. That's exactly what it is.
Why would you do that if you were to go up to Jericho? You wouldn't.
See, that's what the situation was.
You would be like, man, I love your foxtrot on Dancing with the Stars.
Doesn't it suck that he died? See, that's the problem with those situations is now you gotta find the right word to say. Each time is like an audition. You know what I mean?
Oh god.
Each time was like an audition. That's how I feel like it's an audition to be like, oh, how cool are you? Are you cooler than the last guy who was in line who was more happy?
But you know what?
Person?
I think that like most people that are meeting like at least magician or musician. If you're meeting Chris Angel. But like, you know,
yo, Chris, it sucks that Houdini's dead, right?
Oh god, please don't ever do that.
But that's not how I talked about Joe Strummer though.
No, but please, you should be like, man, I'm really distraught about Houdini dying.
I'm sorry about your dad, Chris.
Oh god, don't even mention that. Oh please. That's such a downer.
That's what I felt like. I was like a downer. I don't know what the line was going on afterwards, but I felt, what if they're all
it's like you go from like that super happy like
yeah,
people
like, oh,
in front of us.
Talking about dead.
You went to the exact opposite.
Allison, your last band was the Dead Weather. Come on, man. At least I was able to shake Allison's hand. I couldn't leave without doing that.
Yeah, you did get touch points. But okay, so I guess like what I'm saying is that when you meet somebody, I feel like a lot of these like artists or musicians that you meet, I feel like they are constantly getting bombarded with the same compliment, being like, "Oh, I really love your music. Like, I grew up with this. I own all your albums."
See, that's what I can't. You know? I just don't want to say something like that. But yet, that's all I end up
saying.
But
that's what the common bond
like,
is.
You're so great. You're so great. You're awesome. You're so cool. You make the best stuff ever. I can't believe it.
I don't listen to anything else. I don't read anything else but you. Is like, try to find at least like one nugget or something of information based on the stuff that you like, and then tell them that, and then because they probably won't like hear that as much, or it'll be more memorable because like let's say you pick out a character, be like, oh, I really love the way you wrote this character because I related to it in this way, or something like that. Like maybe they'll at least connect with it a little more, and like maybe a conversation will start from that.
See, even like when I met Paul Feig. I think it's Feig, isn't it, or is it Feig? He'll tell us when we meet him later.
I pronounce it Feig, so yeah. I want to be in his inner circle, so.
But see, like,
I hope I'm
even,
not pronouncing
even
it wrong.
When I met Paul Feig, it was a situation of like, what am I gonna say? And then like I just said like again, I gravitated towards a character, and I was like, now I forget the name of the character, that bully that was in Freaks and Geeks. Alan? Was it Alan?
Yeah, Alan.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, Alan's my favorite character. You know what I mean?
Is Alan really your favorite character?
Well, but see, what happened was...
And then he signs your book, Alan Rules.
Yeah, but Alan does rule. I like the bullies in people's stories. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But see, like, the whole entire time we were talking about that, I was like, man, that's the only thing I can say now.
Dude, you're the one who told Jason Schwartzman that you loved him in Rushmore. And at that time, you never even saw Rushmore.
See, that's what
and
I'm saying.
And then you want credit for, like, breaking up his musical career and having him be a full-time actor.
So like basically it's my fault he's a success.
Well, you know, he did go from Phantom Planet, and now he's Coconut Records. So he didn't break away from music full on.
That's right.
So maybe someone
But
told
now
him,
he's part of the circle.
Yeah.
He's part of the
He's
Apatow.
Part of the Apatow circle, which is my goal, one of my goals of life.
See, I think for me when I meet people, the best thing I can't meet them like just, at least in that type of situation, I can't meet them with like a, I'm just supposed to be there and praise you. I gotta have like a,
so
I gotta have a goal.
What was going on behind your head when you met him, when you were like, oh, I loved you in Rushmore.
Again, it was.
You're like right in front of Jason Schwartzman. You're like, dude, I loved you in Rushmore. You never even saw it. What was up with that? Like, like that was like what you just wanted to give him a compliment, and that was what you thought of.
That was it, man. Because remember at that line when we saw him at Plan 9 in Richmond, the whole scenario was like, remember I was having like this sort of like I guess my gimmick was that I'd have all like famous people like sign my dollar, like
yeah.
a dollar,
yeah,
stuff like that. And then, you know, and then, so what happened is you have them sign a dollar and I'll, you know, you can't just, what are you going to, hey, can you sign my dollar? Like, I feel like then you have dead air, so you have to say something, right?
Yeah.
So each time I'd say like, oh, cool, man, you play awesome, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, this is, you're awesome. Hey, you're awesome. Oh, dude, you're awesome in Rushmore. Oh, yeah? Really? You really liked it? Yeah, man, you did an awesome job. All right,
like
thanks,
dude. I like
your
impersonation of that, too. And then he left the whole musical industry for a couple years because of you.
But see, like, what am I like? Really, in all truth, in that situation,
and you get full credit for that.
Like when you're there and you're signing, and they're signing something for you, it's like you can either give like a what's it called?
Well, what do you want people to tell to you when they come up and ask for your autograph?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that you're sort of stuck in a situation. And then I feel like you're stuck in a situation. Yeah, you're in line. There's people in line behind you. But also, I like meeting people. Like when I met Dean Cain, I at least could have a conversation that has nothing to do with him being famous or Superman. Like, I like that more working relationship.
Yeah, so, but you were working with him. Meet him at a Comic Con.
But see, I want to have a normal conversation with people.
But sometimes,
for some reason,
like certain people, that's the only opportunity that you'll have is to actually see them at a Comic Con or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean
that's
true.
And then you just gotta take that opportunity and be like, hey, what's up, Darwin Cook? I loved New Frontier. You know? Like, and then you just gotta say it like that.
But see, I feel like I always just jump the gun, and I just like I'm like,
maybe
oh, cool, I'm gonna say I like this book. But instead of saying I like this book, I put him in a heroic, oh man, this thing influenced my whole entire life. Like when I met Tim Sale, you know what I told Tim Sale? What? I told Tim Sale that he saved my life.
Oh my God.
I gave my stuff.
Were you like at the brink of like committing suicide and you're just like, I can't do it, Tim Sale.
No. For people who don't know who Tim Sale is, he's the illustrator of Batman, The Long Halloween. He's also did Heroes. He is personally a big influence
on
me.
Man.
But like, it was such a fucking lame thing for me to say.
Oh God, I didn't even know that you said that.
It's such a lame thing to say.
God.
No, but see, like, and his reaction was,
what
his reaction was is like, really, how'd I save your life? And you know what I did? I completely like disregarded it. I went like, like my artistic life.
Oh my God. I think what happens with you is like right when you like meet them like online, you try to think of something to say, you know, that's normal. But then I think at the very moment, like right when you're face to face with them, I think you just need to pay them like the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, that's
like,
usually what happens.
Like, you saved my life.
That is usually what happens, man. Every single time.
Oh God.
It's like, oh my God, you're the greatest.
Except for Frank Miller.
When I met Frank Miller, I didn't do any of that.
You were younger though. How old were you?
I was younger. I was like, I forget when 300 came out.
The movie or the book?
The book. When the book, the 300 came out. But it was during
were you
that.
In elementary
it was during
school?
That time, and I was like number three in line at
the
universe.
Were you in elementary school?
No, I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
It might have been when I was in 10th grade.
All right.
Maybe
you didn't reach the moment where you're like, I need to praise all these people yet.
Well, it's weird because like, you have less time. I felt like I had less time. If I was number three, I had less time to like go over it. And then so when I was like, I really like your stuff. But also like he bombarded me with like, because I had more things. They're like, he's only going to sign 5 things, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, crap, I have like 10 things to sign.
So pick your top 5.
And like, but when I still had it in my hand and I gave him 5 things in my other hand. And then he was like, I was like, hey, thanks, man. I dig your work, man. I didn't know he was that much of an influence on me until later.
Yeah.
So I was still like a normal, cool fan.
You were still an adolescent fan.
Yeah. And one thing that happened was, so I gave him the stuff on my right hand, and then all of a sudden he was like, "You want me to sign the rest of your other stuff?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he just started like signing everything, and even signed my postcards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment I was like, "Awesome." He's like, "Yeah, you should let that dry." And I was like, "All right."
Conversation
and then I just sort of stood there like out to the side while it's like, because I had now over like more than I can carry in my hands, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had like more things I can carry in my hands, like basically like just, you know, what's it called? Like, I look like an ultimate fanboy with all these gold, like he's signing gold.
See,
so it's
but
like
also
I'm
you're
all
in 10th grade. Like, I feel like you could get away with it. It's not like you're a 50-year-old guy, like with a million things asking to sign. You know? Like you're still of that age where, like, you know, in WWE, when Rey Mysterio like gives the kids the masks and talks to them,
yeah,
you're still kind of that age. 10th grade, you know, you're a little bit older, but you're of that age where you're still a kid.
Yeah.
So maybe he just felt like, you know, an influence mood. Plus, if you were early on in the line, he probably felt like he was just like, oh, this kid loves my stuff. I'm going to sign it for him. You know?
And, you know, I did love his stuff.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say? He's amazing.
Yeah. And but also at that time, you didn't know how much he influenced you until later.
And, I'm trying to think if I ever had a good situation.
But I feel like you feel very rushed in like line situations. Like I think you're better in work situations.
I am better at work situation.
But in like a line, it's always going to feel awkward because whoever's signing is, especially if they're only there for a couple hours, you know, it's like they know that they're there just to sign a few autographs. It's not like any big moment is going to be made besides like people just saying, I love your work. You know, I love.
Sorry about that.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry about that. You gotta do four things at once.
You know, like, you know, I think that those people are just expecting that type of fan. It's a fan thing. It's not meant to be anything more than that.
Maybe because
it's a meet and greet or an autograph.
Maybe because in the back of my head, I've never wanted to be, even though it's clearly obvious for people who are close to me, that I am like a massive, I'm always a massive fan. And I've always been a believer of
But I think
the fan
everybody's
moments.
Like that, though. I think even like well-known singers, if they're like, oh, I'm on stage with like Christina Aguilera or something, like, you know, in the back of their head they're gonna be like, this is rad, how'd I get here, you know, like,
yeah,
they won't maybe acknowledge it, but they're gonna try to fit into the fame as much as possible. But, you know, probably in the back of their head they're like, how'd I get here, this is crazy, you know.
Yeah,
so everybody's a fan no matter what.
I'm trying to think if there was ever a perfect moment of me meeting somebody famous that people might count famous. Was it a wrestler or was it the best moments I ever meet anyone famous is during work. Yeah. And at that point I'm sort of forced to be like, don't be a fan. don't even ask for autographs.
Where you can ask them about stuff that has nothing to do with work. That's the thing. You don't want to talk about work at work, you know.
If I go like, oh man, you're so awesome. Even when I met Steve Guttenberg, and after I was like, hey, man, you were pretty awesome in this. He was like, oh, thanks, dude. Like, after that, I was like, well, that's stupid of me to say.
I mean, like, what else are you going to, you know, like, when you're at work, you don't want to talk about work, you know?
That's
like,
true.
So it's like,
Well, that's not true because that's all I ever do is talk about work.
That, I mean, we always talk about work in that sense, but I guess, like, after a certain time, it's like, you're not going to keep talking about a movie that you made 15 years ago. You know, like, you could just, like, at that point, Steve Guttenberg is just going to be like, thanks. Cool. You know?
Hold on one second. My earphones.
Is the audience going to hear all this, or is this
just for
us?
Huh? All I hear is buzzing in my left ear.
But is the audience going to
hear
that?
No, they're not going to hear that. It's only on our headphones.
Okay. We have headphone buzzing, but it's okay. You're not going to be bothered with any of that.
It's only because there's only a million cords tied up into one. And I was, it's always one of the main things, like when they teach us, or at least for like, when working in film production, is like, you can always tell who's been in the game longer or who's more professional, who's a real professional by the looks of their cords.
If it's a mess,
they're not really that good. And I'm like looking at my stuff, I'm like, crap, it looks like a mess right now.
Yeah, and it's all beeping in and out.
Either that or this cord
but
is...
usually you take very good care of your...
Either cord. That or this cord is just dying.
It could just be dying. I guess just avoid that sound since our listeners aren't hearing it anyway. But you know what? I feel like I'm trying to think of like a perfect moment fan meeting. I mean, at a certain point, it's like you wonder from the star's perspective, like who they remember. You know, are they going to be like, I remember this crazy fan that like tattooed my face to their chest. You know, like,
tattooed my face like, to their chest.
No, you know how you hear about those crazy fans.
Yeah.
That, like, they're like, I have Eminem's tattooed face on my chest, you know, or like on their back all big and weird, you know, like, hey, if you have that, then that that's what you want, then that's great, but it's a little odd. Like, for example, like, I remember, because I follow Dave Navarro on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember he tweeted, like, I guess apparently one of his younger female fans, like, tattooed, like, a whole face of Dave Navarro on her back.
Just like how Steve-O did a tattoo of his face on his back?
Yes, it was like a full-on face. Like, maybe not as big as Steve-O's, but it was basically like a life-size face, like, tattooed on the back.
Life-size face.
Yeah, like, imagine if you were to put somebody's face on your back. And I was, like, thinking about it. I know this sounds kind of gross, but this is honestly one of my first reactions. Like, at first I was like, wow, the person must be diehard Dave Navarro fan. And then my second reaction was like, man, I kind of feel bad for if, like, she has a boyfriend or something. It's like, do you think when she turns over and then, like, her boyfriend or husband's gonna be like, oh, that's Dave Navarro's face on your back, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, do you really want to, like, look at that? You know, I mean, he's a handsome guy and all, but I wouldn't really want to look at it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame even any guy, whether he's hot or not, or any guy in general that's hanging out with that girl, and if they get to the level of, like, seeing her naked and, like, she rolls over in bed and then looks at that, it's like, I mean, would any guy really want to look at that?
Well, I don't know. That sort of feels like a, that's almost like that level of, like, almost like stalkerish, or that's just way too far in a way.
Yeah, but it's also like, think of it from Dave's perspective. He's probably like, oh, like, he made a joke about it. He was just like, oh, wait, I was supposed to get Chris Cornell. You know, like he made a joke about it. But then it was like, also from his perspective, like, let's just say hypothetically that girl somehow gets her way to Dave and, like, gets him in bed, and then she takes her clothes off. And then what if he sees that? Like, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
You know, if I was, like, you know, close with some guy and then he's like, oh, hey, take off my shirt. Oh, hey, look what's on my back. Your face. You know, like, that would, like, that, like, I mean, it's like,
did they show
admirable?
A picture? Did they show a picture of the face?
Of what? The face of Dave Navarro
was
on her back?
Did she have a picture of that?
Yeah, it was like a picture of her. I guess she tweeted him a picture of her, like, getting it tattooed.
Well, did it actually look like him? Do you know if it actually
looked
like him?
Yeah, it was
like
a pretty good tattoo.
Because that would suck if it's, like, one of the worst images of Dave Navarro. So he's like, great. Like, you know, like, I bet there's, like, I bet, like, when you're, like, really big and famous, you have so many images of you out there. Not all of them are going to be good. Probably...
I mean, but most likely you're going to pick a good photo to work from.
I always do that on Facebook. When people try to tag me, I try, and it's like, you know, when it's blatantly just a horrible image, or
you
even
just untag it,
or just an image of my face, like straightforward image of my face, or a high angle, or anything where I just look not approved by me, I just untag it.
Well, Joe,
because you can't tag it back once you untag it. You know that?
Let me ask you this: if you were to get in bed with a girl and then, you know, be with her in the bed, and then she, like, took her shirt off and had a giant face of your face tattooed on her back, like,
oh, it's just not someone else, not someone else, my face,
your face, would you freak out? Like, what is up with that?
Would it be one of those images where, like, wherever you turn your head, it's like looking right at you?
No, it's just, I don't know, I'm not gonna get too detailed, but just like a girl has a tattoo of you, like, would it freak you out?
But it's the size of her back, right?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what size it is, just anything.
And I'm having sex with that girl, and all of a sudden she's all like, take out my titties, you're on my left one.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, I guess that's awesome, right?
Like,
we're not getting married, right?
Would you like that? Would you think that that's a compliment, or would you be freaked out?
There would be a time.
Or you're going to be like, it depends on what it is.
I mean, for one, yeah, it will depend on what it is.
But it's your face on somebody's body. It's odd.
Yeah, I guess I agree with you that could be odd. But, like, you gotta think about the long term investment at the same time. That's free promotion.
Oh my god! Did you hear about that one guy? There's this one guy. I forget where he's from. I don't want to guess because I don't remember, but he has, like, some outrageous amount of Julia Roberts tattoos, and they're all over his body, like different pictures of her face. Like, he has, like, something like 78, I'm making this up, so, like, some number, like 78 Julia Roberts tattoos on his body.
Really?
Yes, I'm not kidding you. It's disturbing.
That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, like, one is enough, you know? Like, I'm just saying, like, when it gets to that point, do you think that Julia Roberts is going to look at him and be like, wow, you're so attractive. You have,
about,
like, 78 pictures of me on your body.
Think about this. A lot of people do get faces tattooed on their body. Like,
I guess it's
some people
like
have Jimi Hendrix and some people have like animals.
Or Megan Fox has Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, she has Marilyn Monroe. It's like when you first think about it, you're like, hey, I'm like Jimi Hendrix. Someone tattooed me on their body.
See, but these are all dead people.
Would you be dead eventually?
Like Joe Strummer, to bring up that. You should
Edgar
get a Joe Strummer.
Edgar Allan Poe tattooed on me.
Oh, God. See, but I think that's more of like a memorial. But if you
well,
get,
there you go. That's what it is.
But, oh, yeah. So here's my Dave Navarro memorial on my back. Even though he's not even dead yet. But
who says you have to be dead to have a memorial, right?
You don't. But don't you think that that girl is weird? Because then it's like, imagine if she's like having sex with like anybody and then like she just flips over and she's like, oh, there's Dave. Like, it's
take
odd.
A look at him.
It's odd though.
So like when you're doing it like doggy style and you have like someone tattooed on their back and it's a dude and you're like, great, this guy has to watch my back now.
Yeah, it's like, would you enjoy that?
No, I would not enjoy that at
even
all.
Even the handsome Dave Navarro looking back at you?
No, I would not. That'd be fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. So like what's the benefit of that? Like, I think it's disturbing. And even if I was Dave, I would be like, huh, thanks, that's nice, you know, like,
it's just sort of like a I would not enjoy that at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when it gets to that level, it's like, I bet, like, you know, That's what I'm saying. Like, I bet stars on an everyday basis, they get told all the time, oh, you're great, we love you, I love your music, this book was awesome, you know. That's, like, what else is a fan supposed to say? If you go to the other level of, like, getting tattoos or going insane or, like, you know, if you get, or, like, stalking their house. Like, if you, I think if you go over the line, like, that's when you know, like, it's a little weird. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
So it's like, what else are you supposed to say besides I love this book? You know?
Well, see, that's the challenge, though. That's like whenever I'm sitting there or whenever I'm like in line, I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, I don't want to appear just like one of these other marks.
I think you have to just go with like some obscure fact and then just start talking about it. Like, or an obscure thing that you know about them. Like when I met Jon Stewart, I was like, oh, yeah, like I heard that you went to college in Virginia. I live in Virginia, you know?
Yeah.
And we were like in Philadelphia and we just started talking, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I felt like that was a good icebreaker. What do you think? And I wasn't all like, oh, I love The Daily Show, I watch it every day and I have your book, you know? Like, I wasn't like that. I was just like, hey, I heard you went to William and Mary, I'm from Virginia, you know?
I mean,
like, and then he was like talking to me about it.
Like, that plan is all great and stuff like that, but that never really comes out. Like, for me, that's not really how it all attacks.
I think you just gotta find like that nugget and then work it into conversation, and then eventually it will go somewhere, you know? Because
the conversation
with Jon Stewart, like, I had was like, you know, I don't know, I didn't time it, but it was like 10 minutes, which I think was like a hefty amount of time to me that he devoted to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, he was like asking me questions back, like, and I was just about, I didn't even go to college yet. I was like, yeah, I'm going to college this fall, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then we just started talking about college and, you know, we didn't even talk about Daily Show or any of that. So that was nice.
But when you were there though.
And he hugged me. I didn't ask for a hug. I thought that was pretty rad.
He hugged me.
I got hug points. I got Jon Stewart hug points. I think those are worth, that's probably the worth the most that I have.
I'll be back in 1 second.
Okay. But Joe, answer me from over there. How many points do you think a hug is worth?
Hugs? That should be double points.
Hugs is double points. We need to come up with like a full system. I think handshakes and high fives are equivalent. Anytime like flesh to flesh, that's like an equivalent points. Hugs is double points. I don't know what else. I guess it can go further than that, but I don't want to get into that. I haven't.
What else can you planning on doing here? What is that? What else is in the curriculum?
I don't know, man. What if it gets to the level where they take off their shirt and then they have a big Dave Navarro tattoo on their back?
That is not a situation. That should not be part of the situation.
It's not
here.
Part of the situation. So basically, it's just touching and hugging. You get double points for hug.
I think that should.
What
that
about
should,
kiss?
That should
what
be the
about
limit.
Kiss? Kiss on
what?
The cheek. This is like getting creepy. I've never got a kiss from any celebrity.
Well, how would that? The only way you can do that is if you were in a working environment with them, though. That's how it happens. So when you greet each other and then you're like, oh, kiss, kiss. You know, that's the only way. What if I went for a kiss, like with
like that, Seth? Remember how so Seth Rogen went for a kiss with Megan yeah. Fox? Oh, for you guys that don't know, Seth Rogen. Which show was this on? Was this on Letterman or Leno?
Well, when he got rejected.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, it was on one of the late night shows.
Tell the story. Will I repatch real quick?
It was either Letterman, Leno, or. Who knows what else other shows there are out there. But yeah, so Seth Rogen apparently is like on the same show as Megan Fox. And Megan Fox was all worried because this was her first debut on being on late night TV. And she was like, oh, you know, like you're going to be interviewed first. So do you mind like just staying on the sofa next to me while I come out after you? And he was like, sure. And then, like, she was like, okay. And then, so, you know, he does his interview, and then Megan Fox gets called out. He stands up like a gentleman, and he, like, leans in to, like, give her a kiss on the cheek. Like, yeah. I honestly thought that it wasn't that bad, you know? Like, but then, like, he did, if they slow motion it, he kind of had his mouth open. Looked a little bit funny. But it wasn't, like, that bad, and Seth Rogen's not that bad of a guy. Like, I mean, he's not, like, whatever, Brad Pitt, but he's, like, a cool guy, you know? Like, actually, I like him better than Brad Pitt, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, anyway, so, but she totally denied him and, like, just, like, pushed him off to the side. Like, not, like, a shove, but, like, you know, she basically just, like, went around him completely and, like, sat down in the chair and just, like, refused him.
Refused him. See, I love the telling of that story. Because like everyone can almost like relate to the
hot girl bypassing them
to the failed, you know, when he tried to go
for a
kiss.
But it was like public on TV, and also he's a superstar. It's not like he's nobody off the side of the street that's like, oh, Megan Fox, I love you. You know, like he is a superstar. If anything, he's a bigger star than her.
I have to say, bypass him. I have to say that's one of my favorite rejections on TV ever. Because
oh,
like
you're
even,
just laughing
but
at
even
Seth
they,
Rogen.
But you have to laugh at it now because look at what is Megan Fox doing compared to Seth Rogen.
That's what I'm saying. He's the bigger star, and that's what she does to him because she can.
But see, that's
you know.
But
how many other men's heart has she broken?
All men,
except for the guy from 90210, Brian Austin Green.
Yes, Terminator.
But imagine she can do that to you in the future too. She's gonna do that to you.
No. See, that's when you're wrong. No girl will impress me like that. You gotta work hard to actually impress me in this day and age and be a girl. You gotta be able to beat the girl I have, and that's like physically impossible.
But you know
they can throw all their game on me all they want, throwing whatever they want. I'm just like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's a business now.
See, but would you go in for the kiss of Megan Fox if she set you up like she set up? See, because honestly, she set him up.
But see, if
she was like, "Oh, I need you by my side."
No. But see,
it's my first time.
But here's the problem: he assumed that the kiss was accepted in that situation. She didn't ask for a kiss.
She didn't ask for one.
How many times do girls get kissed on there?
But
you
a lot of times,
you don't have to kiss the guest before.
It's not necessarily a standard 100% guarantee, but I would say. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of late night TV in a while, but when I do watch, usually the guests that are standing in the sofa, they will give them a peck on the cheek or
what?
Like.
I've never. Maybe
yeah.
I haven't really. I've seen a handshake.
I've seen that.
I guess I have seen a kiss, but still, it's Megan Fox.
And you know what though? To Megan Fox's benefit, I will say that probably every guy tries to do that to her. Wouldn't you say so? She probably gets it hands down.
I've always felt like. Because I've read in several interviews with Megan Fox saying how, like, in L.A. and stuff like that, she can feel all the men vultures around her. I bet, like, specifically in those high, big money areas, always all the big guys with a lot of money are like, oh, I can get that chick. That's Megan Fox. I have millions of dollars. I can get any girl
I
want.
And she ends up with Brian Austin Green.
Well, I see, here's the thing.
I don't know how he is.
But what is so wrong with Brian Austin Green, though? Everyone's smacking him. They're just mad because he is. Because
he's the one that got her.
Yeah, see, that's it.
But he got her early. This is the thing.
That dude has been on Sarah Connor, and that dude has been on 90210 and on Smallville. I have no problem. He seems like a cool guy.
I don't have any problem with him either, but I think that the reputation that he has is he's not known for his modern stuff. He's known for 90210, and people are like, what's he done recently?
What, people don't know him as Metallo on Smallville? He was good as Metallo. He worked with Erica Durant.
I don't think the average person knows him from Smallville. I think the average person knows him from 90210.
Wait a minute.
And what happened was
he
started dating her a long time ago. Like when she first got to Hollywood, so he like infiltrated on her.
I do have a famous celebrity in my eyes where I have done exactly what I planned to do and it came out properly.
Who?
Allison Mack.
Oh, I love what you do.
That wasn't me.
I know that was Brian.
That was Brian. Brian's the one who wussed out on that one. I did not wuss out on that one. Well, Brian motivated me because I was like, fuck, if he's doing it now,
I think that if you didn't go second, if you went first, you would have been, I love what you do.
I'd like to say that I instigated that whole entire plan because when we were all there, everyone was waiting on me. So what are we going to do, Joe? What are we going to do? Are we leaving or are we going to go? Are we staying? And that means now it's up to me for everyone's chance to meet Allison Mack. I'm like, fuck, man, I can't wuss out because everyone's going to be on my ass the whole entire time. Oh, well, we could have met Allison Mack. So of course.
I think you did the proper thing. You know, you got the deed done.
I went right for the points. I'm going to work with Allison Mack. I'm going to work with her freaking in a year or a year and a half. It's going to be amazing. I can guarantee that because she is cool.
She is very cool.
She is very cool. She's like a genius. She's like the real life
She's
Lois
very
Lane.
Intelligent.
Yes. And I think I did. I am very proud of that situation. I am very proud. Now I'm happy we get to end on this positive note as opposed to all my failures.
You should just name somebody that she knows that died.
Who would that be? Who would that be? I don't know anybody in the streets.
Some Canadian that died.
It's like, oh, that sucks about your mom. She's not Canadian.
Oh, she's not?
Mm-mm.
Oh, and she works in Canada.
Yeah, she works in Canada, yeah.
Canada. She'd be like, I'm sorry about that Mountie. I heard about him the other day.
That sure does suck that Canada's not America, right?
Oh, God. I'm so glad you didn't do that to her.
No, man. I have utmost respect, and I really hope that I can work with her in the future because I think we'll make some great work together. I think we connect well. I think that's what's going to be if we connect well. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ending on a positive note, I did something right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Stay positive. Tune in to curls-studio.com. And this is brought to you by Stray Productions.
Touch points.
What an awesome memory.
You got Allison's touch points.
That's right. See you later, Carolyn.
See ya. Hi, everybody.
Have a good night. Stay positive. The kind of human wreck is that you love.